Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hi there, Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show as we fly through the week and head downhill to the weekend. News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey here. In just a moment, we'll hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email, stevejones@wkok.com. Getting quite a few messages in the email bag over the last few days. Thanks so much for that. Letting us know you're out there. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And don't forget about our Steve Jones Show podcast. So you can listen to us anytime, anywhere, with your tablet and smartphone on iTunes, Apple Podcast App, Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe. Shows will drop right to your mobile device.
Absolutely.
Just like that.
About a freeze warning tonight. How about that?
You've been looking for it. Oh, you've been waiting for it.
Cannot happen fast enough. Now I can warn, after that. Just enough to tell the grass we're done. I just want to send a little message.
So one of the first things we had to buy after signing the papers to the new home. Yep. In late August, we bought a lawnmower, but I bought an electric mower. It's really nice. Yeah. But there's like three patches of lawn we have. There's like the sidewalk that goes down the middle front of our, property, up to the front door. So you got the front part that's kind of in half, and then there's a little patch in the back. You can get about 3/4 of the front done before the battery goes. Yeah. So when you look at the front of our house now, the front left lawn is very nice, but half of it is done on the right side. So I'm thinking, but I got to get it taken care of. But I figured after the freeze, maybe I can knock it out on Saturday or something. Even though we'll have a freeze probably by then.
We're supposed to be getting one tonight.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow night as well.
My phone has all sorts of freeze warnings on it. Let's see. This one's a little dramatic. You will die. What
ooh,
is that?
Wow.
A little too dramatic for me. No.
Go to the grocery store tonight after practice. Make sure you're stocked up.
Well, there's no need. If this is as prophetic as it claims.
I mean for your better half of the pets.
Okay. But yeah, we've got the freeze warning goes till 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Actually, when I got up this morning, when I looked out the kitchen window, it looked like there was frost on the windshields this morning, but it was just condensation, no problem. We were good.
Yeah, no, believe me, I'm well aware of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're begging for it the way I am.
No, I looked at the windshields this morning. It's like, I should have covered them up last night. Last thing I wanted to do was scrape.
Yeah. Yeah. We got high winds. I mean, the winds are already up about 20 miles an hour out there. It's like, if you want to blow the leaves off my trees and send them to some unknown location, that's fine by me. Because I won't be here Saturday to mow anything, that's for sure. And, yeah. And Sunday's probably out because we're going to go see the baby for the first time. So, yeah. Got to do that.
You do.
Yeah, what the heck? Got to do that. See a little Madeline. Yeah. I can, you know. So far, you know, she's almost a week old and has not had the disappointment yet of knowing who her grandfather is. Oh, him. Oh, God. Yeah. No, so we got, hey, that's a freeze warning. We're all in. All in on this. All right. The Brewers, Dodgers. Dodgers won it last night. Cody Bellinger drove in the game winner in the 13th. I can tell you right now, Steve-O was out cold in the 8th inning. So
it's about time I checked out, too. Yeah,
I want to wait to see that. Well, that'll be our play-by-play call of the day coming up. Yeah, here we go. Freeze watch. I'm not going to watch it freeze. I'm going to be asleep while it happens. For a start, okay. Well, the freeze watch here says it's for Friday.
Okay, tomorrow night into Friday then.
1 a.m. to 9 a.m. Good enough. I'll cut it one more time. No issues. Freeze watch in effect through late Thursday into Friday morning. Sub-freezing temperatures are possible. Frost and freeze conditions may kill or damage sensitive vegetation, such as grass. Take steps now to protect sensitive plants from the cold. Nope, let her rip. Sick of walking behind that thing for this year. I've been cutting twice a week for months.
Thanks for the offer that I could take care of my tender vegetation. But, no, nah, we're good.
Hey, thanks so much. I know you're doing your job.
Don't say you didn't get the message out. You did.
Okay, so now you watched Manny Machado last night. And, of course, Christian Yelich labeling him as a dirty player. So my question is this. As a Phillies fan, do you want him? He's a free agent. There's been a lot of conversation that the Phillies would go after him and Bryce Harper in free agency. Do you want him? That's what I want to know. Yeah, for example, you've got the Brewers out there after the play at first base, and the play is legitimately a bad play by Machado. I don't care what anybody says. He hits the ground ball, the short. He runs on the fair territory side of the line, albeit coming out of the right-hand box, but you know your lane is supposed to be to the right of that line. Nope, he runs to the left of the line, then uses his left foot, and he tries to kick the guy's foot off the bag. You know. I mean, do you want this guy? I mean, you watch him play. Superior arm at shortstop. Superior. Obviously a great hitter. You still want him, though. I thought I'd just ask.
That's true, though. I mean, he's had a history of, we'll call it questionable slides.
He has a history.
Yes.
Last night he called time. This was beautiful. He called time just when the pitcher was, like, I'd say about 20% into his windup. And then the umpire on the stat didn't grant him time. Oh. He's like, I called time. He kind of looked at him like, so what? He's pitching. That's like, I got to grant you time for you to have time. And this guy has been—he's been good in the clutch, by the way, for the Dodgers in this series. So, look, I'm trying to be fair about what he's done right, and also fair about what he's done wrong. But do you want him? He's a massive talent. There's no getting around the talent. There is no getting around the kind of talent this guy has. But do you want him? Then there's Le'Veon Bell, your guy Lev.
Did I say that?
Your guy Lev, you in the suit, always combining.
I don't know. I thought it would be more like Neil Coulong's guy Lev, and you can catch our interview with Neil on our Tuesday edition of the podcast if you missed it live yesterday. Without hesitation, he said to us yesterday, yeah, we're going to get him right out there. Maybe do a 50-50 split. Well, he didn't say 50-50 split with Connor, but at least get a steady diet of both in the offense.
But you know what? Now there are stories coming out that he might not report till October 30th.
I was thinking all along, right around week 10, week 11, I guess that's what the very latest he can wait to show up without getting that, at least the compensation that he's looking for.
Yeah, but here...
Without the max deal.
But there's a significance of October 30th. That's the trade deadline.
Yeah.
This is your guy. It's your guy. Your guy's killing you.
He's killing himself by doing this.
Well, the question's going to be, is there anybody out there that would be willing 6 months from now to pay him the money? Here's what's happened.
I think there will be at least two or three teams that would be that would bend over backwards to have him join the team, but the question is, would he want to play for them? Just depending on the team and whether they have true playoff expectations in 2019.
It's always the Canadian League. All right. All right. Now I'm going to come back and talk about the disconnect between fan and business and apply it to the Bell situation in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. All right, a segment we do almost every month here, sometimes a little longer in between than we want it to be, is when we have Tony Knopp on and we talk about the business of sports. It's a segment over the years that Kevin has always hated because, and I think Kevin's point of view here is very important on this because it's going to play into what I'm about to talk about here. Kevin views sports as this, and justifiably, as this, hey, you know, is my team winning? The games are fun. And I don't want to hear about the business side of it. That's completely fair. You're a fan. In other words, the big part to you is, are you winning and losing? So Steeler fans are mad because in the winning of losing, Le'Veon Bell isn't there. But what we've created here is the sports business part of it. Saquon Barkley came back this weekend. And Saquon, of course, he likes being with the Giants and the whole deal, but he says it's completely different than being at Penn State. Completely different. You know, and we've had players on here all the time talking about the business side of it. Michael Motti and I had a long talk about 3 weeks ago about the business of the NFL. And the business of the NFL is different. Just like the business of the NBA is different. I mean, it is all business. Right? And so on the business side of it, when you look at a Le'Veon Bell, business-wise, he's trying to do what's best for him business-wise. That doesn't compute with the fans. And I understand that. Conversely, the Steelers are breaking no rules at all. There's a union agreement, and Bell's argument is with his own union. It's not with the Steelers. But it's the business part where the disconnect happens between the fan and the business of the sport. For the fan, it's, hey, come on, put somebody out there, put the best players out there, win some games, and want to see some playoffs. Yeah, the whole thing. They don't think about that part. But then when somebody derails the fantasy of what sports is, and in this case it's Le'Veon Bell, by saying, $14.5 million, I'm sorry, that's not going to cut it. I'm going to hold out. You know, you franchise tag me. Yeah, but we're allowed to. Your arguments with your union, talk to them. Right? They said yes to this. All right. But the fan can't relate to it. All they're doing is sitting there getting madder and madder and madder. Like, excuse me, your problem is not making $600,000 a year. Right? Hey, your problem is that we see you making $14.5 million. Well, we think that's a pretty gigantic number as a group of fans to play a game that we would give our right arm to play. The business part of it deals with PSLs, luxury suites, salaries, caps, things like that. Fans hate that. Fans don't want to deal with that. And now let's take it to the college level. Nick Bosa. Okay? We've now seen three players in the last three seasons, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, now Nick Bosa, say they're going to forego, in the case of McCaffrey and Fournette, bowl games, and in the case of Bosa, the rest of the season while he recovers from an injury, to get ready, quote, for the NFL. Well, can you blame, now the student-athlete part, the student-athletes, that is a legal term, right? And you hear the term student-athlete all the time. They're still players. They're still players. And when you look at the business of it, for example, Bosa plays at Ohio State. Well, Ohio State, like the other Big Ten schools, is getting somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 or $51 million. Well, to him, it's like, hey, look, I'm going to go get mine. If the everybody else around me is, you know, my position coach Larry Johnson, my head coach Urban Meyer, they're all making all this money. I'm going to get ready to make my money. I'm going to protect myself. I'm not going to play. Essentially, that's what he's doing. He's rehabbing. And instead of trying rehabbing and coming back and playing for the team, he's decided I'm going to rehab and get myself ready for the draft because I'm not going to risk getting hurt at this level. It's, quote, not worth it to me. Right? Ohio State fans obviously not happy. Urban Meyer, I think, was actually confused by the decision. Right. But what's happened is that when you create a business model, don't be offended when other people then treat it like a business. Because the business people are treating it like a business. So don't be surprised then when other people treat it like a business. It's very hard for the fan to relate to that. To them, it's a game. See, the fan wants to enjoy it. Fan wants the fun of tailgating, the fun of going in and enjoying the game, the fun of the winning and the pain of the losing. That's what they want. They want the best players. They don't really care how much you pay to get them. But what's happened is that you've now made it into such of a business, the players are thinking it's a business.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Time now for This Day in Sports History, or as the suit would say, d'histoire. suit's very sophisticated.
Classic.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, classic.
Oh, absolutely. 1860, Willie Park won his first professional golf tournament. Won the first professional golf tournament to be held in Scotland. Now, what is the significance of that? Who designed the white course? Willie Park. Willie Park Jr. did. He designed the white course. 1962, the Yankees won their 20th World Series. They beat the Giants. Game 7, bases, I think it was bases loaded. Willie McCovey hit a scorching line drive to second that Bobby Richardson reeled in and won. 1968, Bob Beamon, long jump, 29 feet, 2.5 inches, world record at the Olympic Games in Mexico City, beat the old record by almost 2 feet. Yari Curry, 500th goal this date, 1992. Patrick Waugh, 448th victory as an NHL goaltender, passing out the legendary Terry Sawchuk, become the record holder for career victories at the time. Today, an education by Bill Belichick to reporters. Belichick today was saying that outside linebacker Khalil Mack of the Bears is outstanding. But when he was asked if Mack was up there with Pro Football Hall of Famer Lawrence Taylor, Belichick seemed almost offended by the question. Belichick looked over and says, well, wait a minute now. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor. He says, I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class. Put everybody down below that. With a lot of respect to a lot of good players, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor. Whereas Belichick coached Taylor with the Giants. Taylor played 13 seasons, 132.5 sacks, Pro Bowl 9 times, Pro Football Hall of Fame 99. Belichick, of course, thinks that Mack is a top-notch player. He's one of the top concerns for the Patriots this week. As he said, he's strong, he's fast, got a lot of power, he does a good job of power rushing, and he's fast enough to get to the edge. He has good ball awareness, so he does a good job tackling the quarterback when he has to tackle him. But if he has a chance to get the ball out, he's got good ball awareness and can strip it out. High praise. Okay? But again, you know, and I don't blame somebody for asking the question, maybe to compare him to Lawrence Taylor. But I, too, can tell you in no uncertain terms, Khalil Mack and Lawrence Taylor, okay, that is not even a relevant argument. It's not even close. Again, we are in an era where there is a desperation, especially among younger reporters, to think that they are watching the greatest they've ever seen, and those of us who have a little bit more in the tank in terms of what was seen can say that certain players of this time are great and as great as anybody, and also can say, no, don't quite go there yet. Well, when it comes to outside linebackers or edge rushers, Khalil Mack is really, really good. Lawrence Taylor was great. Now, Lawrence Taylor may have had this long laundry list of problems off the field. Okay. But it's a football player? that's not even a relevant... That really is not a relevant argument. It's just not. It's not even close, as a matter of fact. But again, I don't blame somebody for asking the question. But again, he's the greatest... I've watched Khalil Mack play. I watched Khalil Mack play in person at Beaver Stadium, for goodness sakes. Now, he's a lot better player now than he was then. But, no, I don't think so. No. All right. So, baseball playoffs today. Any more email questions today?
Email basket currently empty, but you can always drop us a line anytime. Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Actually, Steve, we do have some breaking news. This is from Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports and The Athletic. He says that Major League Baseball has fined Manny Machado for an undisclosed amount for the way that he ran into Jesus Aguilar last night with that slide. Sources telling The Athletic. That's breaking now as we speak.
Good. Good. They should. I mean, you don't need that kind of play. Now, that said, do you want him? Well, look at the Phillies. He's the kind of guy that can make a difference for you. Yeah, I think that he is the kind of guy that could make a difference for you. Do I want Manny? Would I want Manny Machado or would I want Bryce Harper? Which one would you want? Now, for high level consistency, I would want Manny Machado. Especially Machado was great in the field. Speaking about great in the field, all right, and I'm going to risk offending Dick from Milton here. I'm going to risk it here. But my goodness, Alex Bregman. I haven't seen anybody play third base like that. You know, Schmidt was great. But since Brooks Robinson in the postseason, like, yeah, have you seen how Bregman's played in the postseason in the field? Plus, every time he's at the plate, you feel like he's going to do something. Bregman's something else. And he keeps making way up plays behind the bag. I mean, barehanding balls that look like there's no way you can get that. You could actually have the hand-eye coordination to barehand one rolling that quickly. It's been like watching Schmidt and Brooks Robinson play again. He's been great. I mean, you don't want to hit the ball to the left side because you think he's going to get it. Bregman's been terrific. He's been wow. The Brewers-Dodgers thing doesn't light up anybody, does it? I got to the eighth inning last night, and I'm like, okay, I can't go any further. I'm not even sure the Red Sox-Astros lights it up. I'm not even sure about that. Now, it does for me. I want to watch the Red Sox, but realistically, I think there'd be a lot more fans around here, I think, that would watch if the Yankees had made it. Those are more Yankee fans here. But, wow.
I just think it's a great story on Milwaukee. So that's been kind of roping me in a lot more than I anticipated. I just don't know when they're going to get back. You know, who's to say when they're going to, if they're going to get back this far next year in the playoffs?
Well, I'll say this about Milwaukee. I mean, they have done a go-for-it mentality. We're going to get Mike Moustakas. We're going to, you know, look at the guys they acquired here to try and get there. I mean, to me, that shows me something that they have a go-for-it mentality.
Yeah, I have the curiosity factor just watching Milwaukee. We just not getting a chance to see them all that much during the regular season. But I've forced myself to watch Boston and Houston because I think, you know, in case the World Series is a flop, you're talking about two phenomenal teams in the same league going after each other to get into the World Series. So I think that's been, you know, that's just been an automatic for me watching as much of that as I can.
All right.
Just what they brought last year in that championship series last year was great.
Right.
It's like, oh, great, we get a rematch, you know. So there's a lot of hype going into that.
The couple things that we'll talk about Penn State football here for a moment. We're, you know, the future of Penn State football comes into play here. This, what Penn State really needs right now, is Penn State needs two things. I think they need, number one, better, the difference between them and some of the other teams, that they still need better depth. They need better quality depth. I think that's one thing that right away that they need, where when they put certain players in, you know, how much of a drop-off is there? Look, when they on the defensive line right now, when Windsor and Givens aren't in there, and you know, and they need breaks, there is a little bit more of a drop-off than there should be. That needs to be shored up. Maybe even at a couple, you know, at a spot at linebacker, too. Plus, Mike is learning to play. I think Mike is getting better at it, playing better in space, understanding what he can and can't do. And then they need another playmaker, maybe two on offense. It's interesting. KJ Hamler is absolutely a playmaker. Miles Sanders is a playmaker, but Miles has been a playmaker in the run game really only so far. He's not been a playmaker in the pass game. Tompkins can make some plays. Polk can make some plays. Juwan can make some plays. But every time KJ touches the ball, you feel like they're making a play. They need a couple more guys to do that. Freiermuth is a rock-solid guy at tight end. Rock-solid. Gives you exactly what you need there. But they need to get a couple more playmakers on both sides of the ball. They need a couple more playmakers to emerge. And they still need depth. That's why when James made his statement about great to elite, you'd have to be in the... I wasn't in the room. I watched the video of it. You notice he's looking up. Well, he's looking up at the recruits. The reason he's looking up at the recruits is, happens to be, look, next year and the year after, they're the ones that are going to provide either... Some of them will be starters, but some of them are going to be the ones, critical ones, providing quality depth where there's no drop-off. And that's what they need right now. They need a couple more playmakers on each side of the ball. Defensively, they only have 8 takeaways this year. Indiana, for example, has 14. Now, Penn State's defense is capable of more takeaways. Micah Parsons is capable of takeaways. Miller is. Amani Oruwariye obviously is. John Reed is. Okay? Garrett Taylor is showing he can be, but they need a couple more playmakers on offense, dynamic playmakers, and a couple more dynamic playmakers on defense. Right? That's where they are. And then they need more depth, where they can hit the fourth quarter and they can play exactly who they want to play in the fourth quarter, and they haven't had to exhaust plays by keeping starters in there, and thus then it makes a difference in the fourth quarter. So I think those are two areas moving forward long-term for the program, long-term. Because I think there are some potential playmakers there. I think Jahan Dotson, to be honest with you, I think Jahan Dotson is going to be a playmaker here. I really do. Every time I watch him in practice, he does something dynamic I really like. I think Daniel George is going to be really good, and I think Justin Shorter is going to be good. I think Slade's going to be good eventually. And then defensively, I think Trent Gordon's not bad. Mike is going to be fine. I think Jesse Lucchetta eventually is going to be a good player in that lineup for them. And so they've got some guys that they can turn to. It's also a young football team. Okay? And let me give you... I'm not sure everybody realizes what you can have back with this team. But when you look at Penn State, okay, obviously you're going to change a quarterback. That's going to happen. You're going to change a quarterback, simple as that, because he's a senior. But you're going to go to Tommy Stevens, and I think all of you know I really like Tommy Stevens. I really like Sean Clifford, too. Both throw really nice football. Right? Now, Miles Sanders has a decision to make. But he's eligible to come back. Ricky Slade is only a true freshman. Journey Brown, obviously. And then, of course, you know about the recruiting class. Now you get the wide receiver. KJ Hamler's a redshirt freshman. Dotson's a true freshman. George happens to be a true freshman. Shorter's a true freshman. Now, Juwan Johnson has another year left if he wants it. Brandon Polk has another year left if he wants it. Freiermuth's a true freshman. Abe Bowers has another year left. So does Holland. Danny Dalton's got 2 years left. Okay, on the offensive line, all 5 of those guys in the offensive line all can return. Bates has 1 more year. Gonzalez has 1 more year. Mennett has 2 more years. McGovern has 1 more year. Fries has 2 more years. So we're talking about an offense just based on class designation. The only two guys on class designation you lose are McSorley and DeAndre Tompkins. That's it. All your kickers are back. Your snapper's back. Your holder's back. Your kickoff guy's back. Okay? So that's on the offense. See, this is not a senior-laden team. Hey, now you go to the defense. And again, I think this surprises people. Sharif Miller has another year left, you know. Simmons has two. Windsor has 1 year left. Mustafa has three. Givens has 1 year left. Gross Matos has 2 years left. Shaka Toney has 2 years left. Okay? Cam Brown has 1 year left. Jarvis Miller has 1 year left. Jan Johnson has 1 year left. Ellis Brooks has 3 years left. Koa Farmer's done after this year. Micah Parsons has 3 years left. Amani Oruwariye is done. Donovan Johnson has 3 years left. Garrett Taylor has a year left. Jonathan Sutherland has 3 years left. Nick Scott's done. Lamont Wade has 2 years left. John Reed has 1 year left. Tariq Castro-Fields has 2 years left. Okay? Then you bring it over to a guy like, you know, other guys that are playing. Right? Daniel Joseph, 2 years left. C.J. Thorpe, 3 years left. Ellison Jordan, 2 years left. Jason Luketa has three. Aaron Monroe has 1 year left. Zach McPherson has 2 years left. So on defense, you lose two guys on class eligibility on offense, two. And on defense, you lose one, two, three guys. Just based on class eligibility of your 24 starters, including the two kickers, you lose five guys. You get 19 guys back next year. I think sometimes you see guys play there a long time, and you know, and are there some guys that may say, yeah, we're going to opt for the NFL draft? That's certainly a possibility. But they have a lot of people back if they all make the decision to come back. They're going to have 19 starters back. I don't think a lot of people realize that. And all the depth back. All the depth. Because I consider DeAndre Tompkins, I put him in the classification of being a senior starter. The depth is all back. 19 starters plus depth. Interesting spot.